Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
You know, we're all wired to worship and to live and express faith in someone or something. Which faith is true? There's a lot of belief systems out there. And next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to study which faith you can count on. Stay with us. That's next on Daily in the Word. You know, there sure are a lot of belief systems out there and a lot of people that claim to have the corner on truth. But the fact is, there's one set of truth that you can count on. There's one God and one word that He's given to us. Amongst all the faiths, there's one that rises above all of them. Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to answer the question, which faith? Welcome to this program, Daily in the Word, that features the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. This program comes to you every Monday through Friday, and it's our joy to open God's Word with you. And today we're going to answer the question, which faith? By the way, don't forget you can find out more about this ministry at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You can subscribe to the Daily in the Word devotional and the podcast and listen to this program at your convenience on your phone or iPod or computer. All of that and much, much more is found at dailyintheword.org. But first, let's turn to Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 21 as we study today, global warming or second coming. Here's Paul Chappell.
One far-off divine event toward which the whole creation moves. One far-off divine event toward which the whole creation moves. And the tourist said to the guide of the tour that day, "What does that mean?" And the guide said, "I think it refers to the second coming of Christ." You see, when the dome of our Capitol was erected and painted, some God-fearing official ordered that an inscription be etched into the dome which spoke of that coming event at the end of the world. It is not a picture of men floating around in rafts. It is not a picture of a flood, but it is describing that one event which believers throughout the centuries have looked for. And that is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The revelation of Christ is seen in Revelation 19, but notice secondly, the resources of heaven. For coming with the Lord Jesus Christ is great power. The Bible says in verse 14, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." Notice the army of heaven, if you will. The Bible speaks of the army of heaven. I believe these are the saints. I believe these are the saved. I believe this would be you and me, those of us who are saved, who have gone up in the rapture and are with the Lord. We are now to return at the second coming, the Old and New Testament saints. Revelation 19:8 says, "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." The bride of Jesus Christ, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, now returns. And I thank God for the fact that we will come with the Lord. We are not on the earth to be judged like those who rejected, like those who were left behind. But we will come with the Lord at His second coming. We go up as a church. We come down as an army. And we come with the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice secondly, the attack from heaven. For there will be great destruction that comes from heaven upon this earth. Verse 15, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Now, what is the attack made from, or how is the attack produced? Well, it is made, first of all, with the authority of the Word of God. For the weapon of Jesus Christ is none other than the sword of His Word. The Bible says in Hebrews 4 and verse 12, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. You see, Isaiah 11:4 prophesied this. Isaiah 11:4, but with righteousness shall He judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and He shall smite the earth with the rod of His mouth, and with the breath of His lips shall He slay the wicked. And so the attack from heaven is made with the Word of God. There were times during the earthly ministry of Jesus where He spoke and a dead man rose again. There was an occasion in John chapter 18 and verse 6 where the Bible says, as soon as He said this unto them, He said, I am He. They went backward and fell to the ground. These are but minor instances in the early days of Christ's ministry where people were spoken to and where they fell back, or where great miraculous events took place. What does this show us? The power of the Word of God. But never was the power of His Word seen, and never will it be seen, like that day when Jesus Christ comes again. And make no question about it, this battle will be a brief battle. This battle called the Battle of Armageddon, as the world's soldiers gather against Jesus, it will be over not in days or weeks or years. It will be over in moments, because the very Word of God will end their rebellion. We see the revelation of Christ as the heavens are open, as the eyes of flame are showing judgment. We see the resources of heaven as the Word of God is spoken. But notice thirdly this morning, if you would, the removal of this world's kingdoms. You see, all of the best efforts of the UN and all of the best efforts of the EU and all of the best efforts of the scientists and politicians to solve the problems of the world and to bring world peace have fallen short. And now the King of Kings and Lord of Lords will set them aside, and He will rule and reign over this planet. Notice in verse 19, if you would, the Bible says, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against Him that sat on the horse and against His army. If you are new to Bible study, the beast here, of course, is the Antichrist. Now the Bible, the Revelator says, I see the Antichrist. I see the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against Him. Verse 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now you listen to me this morning. The rock and roll crowd can call themselves the Beasts and the Beastie Boys, and they can put upon themselves the mark 666, and they can dress in black, and they can do as many teenagers do today, dress up with black eyeshadow dark over their eyes and paint themselves black and dye their hair black and paint their fingernails black, and they can identify with the demonic powers and with the coming Antichrist. But I say to you this morning, it is no joke. My God is real. He is coming in judgment upon Satan and his demons. He will judge the Antichrist. And by the way, no born-again Christian ought to be identifying with what will be coming as the Antichrist. Nothing to joke about. Nothing to identify with. Here we see the removal of the Antichrist. His armies are destroyed, verse 21. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse. Oh, the world's armies gather together according to the Word of God. It is at the valley called the Valley of Jezreel or the Valley of Megiddo, some 55 miles south of Jerusalem. Here in northeast Israel, the armies of the world will gather. Perhaps there will be great and mighty ships in the Persian Gulf gathering as well. They will be summoned to this place by none other than Satan himself. His spirits and demons now bringing unbelievers together to fight against the King of Kings. And notice this in Revelation 16, 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, speaking of Satan, and out of the mouth of the beast. And by the way, if you did this in World War II, I'm not against you. But no born-again Christian person today ought to go to a tattoo shop and put a dragon on their body. I'll say that again. I only got one amen on that. Number one, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And number two, the dragon is the symbol of Satan. I don't understand Christians today. I understand before you got saved, you were drunk and you lived in Japan and you put a little skull on your arm to show your buddies how big you are. I understand that. You weren't saved. I do not understand someone professing to be saved putting the symbol of the devil on themselves. That wasn't in the notes, but that's good preaching right there. Revelation 16, 13, coming back to the notes. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Verse 16. And he gathered them, Satan, gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And so they gather there, the Antichrist and the armies of the world. And I don't know if you've noticed it, friends, but there's a great coming together of the armies of the world. We live in a strange day. It seems at times, perhaps you've noticed it, that America stands alone in our battle against terrorism. Very few allies. And here we see the armies of the world coming together. We see solidarity between Russia and Iran today. Let's not be mistaken that the Gog and Magog of Ezekiel are even today licking their chops against Israel. Let's wake up to the fact that a little tiny nation in the Middle East with less than 1% of the world's population, hey, Israel's in the news every single day. Why? Because that's going to be the focal point as this day draws nigh. We see today the armies of the world more and more coming together, United Nations, peacekeeping forces. And as these armies come together on this day, they will be coming together in great majority of the world's armies. Why? To fight against the coming prince of princes and the king of kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, if you will, the Antichrist's armies are destroyed. And then secondly, the Antichrist is cast into the lake of fire. The Bible says this here in verse number 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, and he which divided them that had received the mark of the beast. Notice, those both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. You see, 2 Thessalonians 2:8 prophesies it. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and wonders. And so we see the removal of the Antichrist. Notice secondly, the restoration of our Savior's kingdom. The restoration of our Savior's kingdom. Now then, Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. He could have established his kingdom, his messianic kingdom. And God has promised that from the line of David, a kingdom will be established. But it was not established at the first coming. But it will be established at the second coming. Now notice in chapter 20, the first three verses speak of Satan being cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. But verse 4, please. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark on their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Here we see the reign with Christ and his saints. I believe that those who have come with the Lord will rule and reign for this, what is referred to as a millennial period, a 1,000-year period. And the Bible is very clear that those who had been faithful to the Lord will rule and reign with Him. Sometimes we read the Bible and we wonder, how can these things be? Sometimes we question how they can be. But may I remind you today, you don't have to understand everything about the Bible to believe it. It is, after all, a supernatural book. I read one time years ago, and I wondered, how will the whole world see the Antichrist? I didn't understand that. How will the whole world see the Antichrist, as the Bible says? That was before all of the different technology of this day. That was before computers. That was before people walking around with TVs on their watches. There's no question in my mind that the whole world will see him at one time. I used to wonder about this beheading. How in the world? Why would they behead? That seems old-fashioned. That's something they did back in the days of the Crusades. And now many of us realize there are over 1 billion Muslims in the world today. And at least a minority of them are very, very anxious against the name of Jesus Christ. And one of the ways they seem to take life in the Middle East is by beheading. And we see during this particular period of time called the tribulation that saints will be beheaded. Those who do not take the mark of the beast are beheaded. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ now will redeem them, and he will take them, and they will rule and reign with him. Some of those that are persecuted the most, I believe, will rule and reign in great realms of power with the Lord Jesus for this 1,000 years. Then there will be the removal of the wicked. The rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. They are set aside, as was Satan, as was the beast. They are set aside until the great white throne judgment will take place. And then we also know that during this 1,000 years, there is the renewal of the earth to its original environment. This environment of the earth will blossom. Isaiah 11 describes this time as a time when the wolf will dwell with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the kid, the cow and the bear shall feed together, the little baby child will play near the hole of a snake. It will be a time of peace and wonder and beauty for 1,000 years. At the end of that 1,000 years, there will be the final time of judgment, followed by the eternal kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Isaiah prophesied it. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 says it this way: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The Lord, the zeal of the Lord of hosts, is able to perform this." Now I want you to mark down in your mind that Jesus Christ is coming again. And while the world is worried about global warming, and we're not here today to say that the earth may not warm or cool or have such trends, we are here to say that an honest Bible student is not to spend his life and passion for planet Earth. He is to spend his life and passion for Jesus Christ. And we are to be looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I get wearied of these Christians who want to give their passion over to what may very well be the agenda, not of Jesus Christ, but the Antichrist himself. You say, are you against the environment? Not at all. Adam was given the responsibility to dress and keep it. I understand that. But I tell you emphatically this morning, I do not worship the environment. I do not make movies about the environment. I do not go from city to city talking about the environment. I believe it's time to talk about Jesus more and more, you see. That's what this is all about. I know people make fun of it. I know the scientists, the intellectual elite so-called, they rage and they mock. They make fun of the concept of the resurrection and the second coming. I realize that. And they will be raging and mocking when Jesus comes. There will be those in their bar throwing down their Budweiser and telling their filthy jokes. There will be those on their internet, as the Bible says in the book of Daniel, information will race to and fro in the last days, and there'll be people looking at nudity from another part of this planet, perhaps even when Jesus Christ comes again. And there will be kings and rulers who will laugh at the Lord Jesus as he comes again. Psalm 2 speaks of it. In your notes, you'll read the words, "Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing, saying, let us break their bands asunder and away and cast away their cords from us. But he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have him in derision." You see, when the heavens are opened, When Jesus Christ is revealed and His eyes a flame of fire and His vesture dipped in blood, I believe the kings of the earth will say, let's get rid of this once and for all, this Jesus Christ. Why? These fundamentalists are causing the problem, and this truth about Jesus is what's dividing the world today. Let's break His cords from us. Let's deal with this issue once and for all. But Jesus Christ will laugh. Jesus Christ will not be moved. And His word will bring soon and utter destruction to those who deny Him. My friend, the heathen are raging right now. They're raging across this country today. They're raging around this world. But here's the issue, and listen clearly. The issue, very simply stated, this world is coming to an end. When? I do not pretend to know. Whether it's global warming, or the second coming, or some other catastrophic event, most people on this planet believe this world is coming to an end. And my question for you this morning is simple. Are you ready? What are you doing to get ready? There are those in this country who would say, to get ready, you need to get an environmentally clean car, and that's fine. There are those who would say, to get ready, you better go buy a boat. There are those who would say you need more education. There are those who would say we need the coming together of all the political powers and we've got to just be more environmentally sensitive in the way we live. That's how to get ready for the end. Well, I'm going to tell you how to get ready for the end by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible is very clear that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Saved from what, Pastor Chapel? Saved from wrath to come. Why does the Bible use the word saved? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what, Pastor Chapel? Saved from the end, the destruction, the eternal damnation. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, we're not here today to point you to scientific fact. We're not here to point you to a life raft. We're not here to even point you to a political party. We are here to point you to Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. You say, well, Pastor, I've already accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Then listen very carefully. Those of you who've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, do you believe that Jesus is coming again? Then may I ask you this week to let that belief affect your behavior. What good is a belief that doesn't affect your behavior? I believe I love my wife. Is that right? Are you showing it? Does your belief affect your behavior? And if we believe that Jesus Christ is coming again, I believe it is incumbent upon us to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those at work, with those around us. You say, well, I don't believe I can save anyone. You're exactly right, but you can point them to someone who can. And His name is Jesus Christ. This week, every morning at 9 a.m., every night at 6:30, there'll be pastoral staff here having meetings with church family members, going out in this community, telling people about Jesus Christ, telling people how to be saved. I want you to know something, my friend. As passionate as the scientific community is about global warming, making movies, going from place to place, where are the Christians telling people about the second coming? May we this week say, Lord, here am I, use me. Father, thank you for this time to learn about the truth of your second coming. Help this belief to change our behavior. May this truth be evidenced in our testimony.
You've been listening to Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. We're currently studying a series entitled Which Faith? We're studying the differences between the humanistic, globalistic philosophies of our day and the truth of the Word of God. And friend, of course, the most important truth of this series and the question we're wrestling with is, who do you place your faith in? Have you placed your personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone to be your personal Savior?
That's the greatest question you could ever consider.
Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chapel. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series with its recent broadcasts. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that number is 1-800-201-7748. Or you can write to us at Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.